teens are in a unique, like, mental space where they, if they can fail in a safe space, you've got a really good opportunity to help them grow and stuff, because, you know, the environment that they're in is usually not forgiving, or at least yeah. pretty rough. Like, yeah. teenagers in high school don't have a fun time.
That's true. It's challenging, and they're not taught what to do about their ideas or how to create them or how to find solutions for yeah. the excuses. And so I tell my son, you know, you not having your own lawnmower is not a reason not to start a lawnmower business if that's right. your idea. Like, there's yeah. you could rent one, or you could, you know, the homeowners, if they have one, you charge 15 instead of 20, or just yeah. start to teach them solution oriented thinking rather than excuses.
All right, we're rolling. Debbie Hart, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm so excited. I love having these conversations.
Yeah, we had a whole podcast before this one.
Yeah, we kind of did.
So we'll recreate it. But tell me, so you have the Ignition Point podcast. What's the, it's the Teenpreneur conference?
Yeah, so we've got a few different things, a few different verticals that we've launched off of Ignition Point.
Okay.
So it was inspired... I do mortgages, and I coach real estate agents. I did coaching before I got into mortgages, so it's kind of a natural space for me anyway to just be a motivational speaker, to inspire people to achieve, yeah. you know, whatever it is they're working towards, including my own kids. So I'm a single mom of six.
Whoa.
Been doing that over a decade. Holy on my own. So
you're the second very high powerful woman who is the single mother of really close. Jen Drummond, shout out to Jen. She's a single mother of almost that many as well.
Hey, Jen, so. Let's do lunch.
Yes, actually, you should meet Jen, and I will put you in touch.
I love meeting people one-on-one for lunch, yeah. getting to know them, deep yeah. dive.
Okay, keep going.
So,
yeah, crazy.
So I have, it's been a while now, so I've got just a couple of teenagers left at home, two teenage boys. And most of my kids have, you know, seen me scrap and do my own things, because when I got divorced, I had been a stay-at-home homeschooling mom of six, hadn't worked for 16 years. I mean, a couple of little side things like kids performing groups or whatever mom thing, you know, that would fit in a couple hours a week. Not much. Not what you can live off of. No, certainly not enough to pay for even daycare for six kids, right? And then also I thought, well, not only, I mean, some $15 an hour job's not going to cut it, right? And I didn't have six babies to pay someone else to raise them. So what can I do, right? So I just developed the entrepreneurial mindset myself, partly because it was in me, but partly because I was compelled into that sort of a situation, right?
Yeah.
Always loved psychology. Had plans, original plans, to go to school to be a therapist. School seemed out of reach at that time, so I got some different certifications. I flew to Santa Barbara, worked with Tony Robbins and his team, got some trainings that way, started doing some life coaching, right? Because I could create my own schedule and then be there with my kids and help make a difference in the world, help people get out of the kind of situation that I found myself in, right? Because mm-hmm. I had 5 minutes to find somewhere for us to live. Like, bank accounts had been emptied. We had nothing for a really long time. Like, I had to beg for food and shelter for me and my six kids. And I'm like, no one should be in that situation. That's why I'm so passionate about teaching and education and events and coaching now.
Yeah.
Because of the pain point that was derived from within my own experience. That's usually how it goes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that is, yeah.
So then this summer, so I did that for a while. And then also COVID shut down a bunch of my events. Like, I had gotten to a point where I had my own life coaching company. I had created my own curriculums.
Yeah.
COVID shut a lot of that down. I pivoted, turned it all online, and then my partner left and crashed some things that way. And I just, a lot of things hit at once. Yeah. I thought, you know what, I just need some temporary thing.
Uh-huh.
Got into mortgages, loved it, immediately started developing a coaching program for the real estate agents I was working with. Loved that. But I did miss working with a wide variety of people and topics. So I started networking with some business owners, and I love hearing their stories. Like, a lot of us, like, I'm not a victim, right? Yeah, I went through some hard things. Wow, who doesn't? Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. It's like, get sure. over it. What are yeah. you gonna do about it?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I like hearing what, you know, people have gone through or the challenges they overcame. Those stories inspire, right? Mm-hmm. We all share our successes on Facebook and Instagram, right? Oh, yay! What's his name is a millionaire or a billionaire. Good job. How'd you get there?
Yeah.
And what did you face to get there? Because I know that journey was not easy. So I started asking the questions and meeting the people, and I wanted to inspire my boys. I have two teenage boys still at home, and I went on a hike with a bunch of entrepreneurs, and I heard their stories, and I thought, I want my boys to hear these stories. Because, you know, in the teenagers, you got teenagers?
No.
No, okay.
I have two kids, but they're not.
Little?
Yeah, okay. They're far from it.
Well, you only really have your kids till they're like 10 to 12, just so you know. And okay. then they want to listen to everybody else. But that,
yeah, yeah, okay.
So you become
my
like,
daughter's 7.
Okay, that's so fun. I love that age. So yeah. She's daddy's princess.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, when they get older, they need other mentors because you just mostly become the chaperone and the person that pays for things as a teenager. They need some eagles in their life, right? And so I just thought, I want my boys to meet these people, but I can't ask them all to like have one-to-ones with my teenage boys, right? Yeah. Awkward. So I created an event for teens based off what I wanted my boys to have. 3 weeks from the idea in my head on that hike to the event. And we had 75 seats at the location, you know, the Tax Hive building.
Yeah, shout out
Sean Finnegan is amazing. He's created this incredible hub for business owners and entrepreneurs of all walks, super ridiculously successful to the startup. You know, he's just really good at mentoring all those people. But we did this teen event, and he had 75 seats there, and 150 people showed up.
Yeah, wow.
Lines out the door, ran out of food. Good problems to have, though.
Yeah,
so, like, there's
cow.
A market for this, right?
Yeah.
But not just for the teens. We had the adults asking, can I come? Can I learn? And Sean talked about how to pitch, and we did kind of Shark Tank style pitches, and they won prizes, and there was a $10,000 launch package, and the whole works, right?
Yeah.
And we're doing the next one in a week and a half on September 9th. Same thing, even bigger. We've got investors coming who have funds for teen businesses. We have a marketplace
Very
for
cool.
those who did already launch their business based off of the last one that they get to sell their products
nice,
and service
they're
on
vendors,
the spot.
Yeah.
We got a vendor booth going on. We've got book deals for this one. I mean, it's just leveling up. But and then we wanted to take the stories. I mean, people loved the stories for months afterwards. They're like, that changed my kid's life. It changed my life hearing those things.
Yeah.
So then we launched the podcast from that. And some live events for some adults and things, some online courses, curriculum for entrepreneurs, because people were asking for it, right?
Yeah.
You test an idea out, like Bridger Pennington said on our episode, his tips at the end. He's like, $500 in 3 weeks. You can test anything out. That's about what that event cost me, right? For the pizza or whatever. $500, put it together in 3 weeks, had an idea. The market said yes. So we created a whole lot more based off of that.
Dude, that's amazing. You said there's some book deals? Tell me about it.
Yes. So there's a new company that we're working with. So Sean Finnegan and I are actually also writing a book together about all of this.
Oh, heck yeah.
And that all just kind of came together synchronistically as well. We weren't planning on it. But a couple of business owner buddies of ours, multi-entrepreneurs, like many of us are, kind of have our hands in multiple projects. We're
That's
not
right.
satisfied with just one, most of us, a lot of us. So they have several different companies, both of them collectively, and they came together. Both of them are in the AI space, and they are building an AI book writing company.
Cool.
So it is cool. It's a very cool concept. So a lot of, I mean, personal development people, motivational speakers, you know, they want, you need your own voice and stuff, but people in other industries don't have the time to write a book. And yet it's such a credibility factor.
Yes.
Right. And so AI can take a lot of the time, the mind numbing, coming up with the concepts.
Right.
Like
the chapters, cost, the table. Yeah.
Yeah, the cost of paying a ghostwriter is like $8,000. A cheap one, yeah.
I know ghostwriters who charge $100,000.
Yeah, I do too, actually.
So I was like, $8,000 is like...
The whole best-selling author thing, you know, it can easily cost $30,000 to $100,000.
Yeah.
Which may be worth it if that's your, you know, your industry is that, you know, influencer type people. But if you're a guy that is a financial advisor... or a real estate agent, and you just want this as like a really cool business card adds so much more credibility. You know, I'm your local expert. I'm an author. Yeah. It takes all of the headache out of that.
That's pretty cool.
So we teamed up with them. And so they're taking the podcast episodes and turning those into the chapters.
Yeah.
And then Sean and I will, you know, we're doing an intro with our thoughts and our ideas about why we developed this concept. And then concluding chapters on our own message.
Yeah.
And so using AI is taking a lot of the, I mean, it's still our voice and our thoughts, but it takes a lot of the time and the effort.
It's that, it's the busy work of like, all right, how do we organize the chapters? Like, when do we put, because that all. Yeah, I wrote a book once.
You did?
I did write a book once. It's not like cool. Enrique, and most people don't know about it, but I
did.
What
is it? Now we must
know. It's called Sales Genius. Oh. Wrote a book on sales.
So now you're the sales expert because you wrote a book on it.
I've sold a few Kindle copies, by the way. No,
very
I love that.
Nice.
No, a book is, yes, I know a few book coaches and I know a few. A book is, books are a really good way to like let people know what's going on.
Get your message out there.
Yeah, get your message out there. And you have something like physical that people can hold.
It's nice because we're going to be releasing our book.
Okay.
And helping them launch their company at our live event for at the Tassai Village.
September 9th is for
the teens.
Which September is a Saturday 28th morning, is...
and then September 28th in the evening, we'll be having our first Ignition Point live event for business owners.
Very cool. Very cool.
So we have other people coming in to teach about different topics for entrepreneurs as well. But featuring the AI book company launching their company. Some of the podcast guests will be there speaking, doing a Q&A at the end. And we'll be releasing our book and doing like a fun book signing and some dinner. So
that's way cool. Okay. There's a lot to talk about there because we were talking about this before. I also love the teen entrepreneurs. They did one at a buddy of mine did something similar to this at Rev Road. But it was a long time ago and it doesn't exist anymore. But they would make their idea. They had 6 weeks to make their idea and then they pitched it in front of a bunch of judges.
Yes.
And then we were on the panel. Like I was one of the judges and we invested. We picked, they had a winner and then we also brought our own money and invested in.
Very cool.
I invested in a nonprofit, a dress company. They would take old prom dresses. She was like 17, took old prom dresses, like donated. And then she would go to the school during prom week and rent them out the dresses that she had gotten donated for the girls who like, and the families who couldn't afford them for like $5. I mean, the donations were,
very nominal.
And some of them were like, just take it. And you know, if you can pay us $1, give us $1. If you can't, then just take
it. See, and I love hearing the ideas that these teens come up with.
They came up with some crazy
ideas.
Brilliant.
Yeah. They just need the space to create.
Yeah. And they just need somebody to like,
mentor
them and give and say, hey, it's a good idea. Because like one of the things that I talk about whenever I'm sure you guys do the same thing. But like when I tell podcasters or like salespeople, because that's kind of my space, it's like your first podcast is going to suck.
Yes.
You know what I mean? The first time you pitch somebody, you're going to fall on your face.
Exactly.
It's not going to be fun, but that's okay. Like you have to do it. So pick something, go fail it. If it works, sweet, but if it doesn't, like, that's okay. That's part of this whole path that we got to take.
Oh, absolutely. Nobody's good at something their first time.
You
can't be.
I know. I tell, it's wild. But teens are in a unique, like, mental space where if they can fail in a safe space, you've got a really good opportunity to help them grow and stuff because, you know, the environment that they're in is usually not forgiving or at least pretty rough. Like teenagers in high school don't have a fun time.
That's true. It's challenging and they're not taught what to do about their ideas or how to create them or how to find solutions for the excuses. You know, that's why we started with those stories about people who overcame really scary and hard things.
Yes.
And so I tell my son, you know, you not having your own lawnmower is not a reason not to start a lawnmower business if that's your idea. Like there's, you could rent one or you could, you know, the homeowners, if they have one, you charge 15 instead of 20, or just start to teach them solution-oriented thinking rather than excuses.
Yeah, like your problem solving. I remember when I was in high school. Do you remember this? People hate it. So I am not a college basher. I actually love like traditional education for the most part because I had really good teachers. Like we were in a physics class And everybody's been in that class where like you learn the curriculum and then they give you the test and everybody says the same thing. Like, this wasn't in what we learned. And our physics teacher, Mr. Sellers, he was like, no, it was on your test. You just have to start piecing it together. Like, this is the problem. He's like, this first piece, you remember the first week we talked about this. This is the second piece. So the whole problem was different, but he showed us how to like break it down.
Yeah.
And taught us how to
critical
thinking. Like he was like,
rather than just memorizing right, and regurgitating.
And he was pretty ruthless too. I'm not a physics guy, but I'll never forget that kind of process of like the way that he broke it down. And then it's not what you learn, it's how you learn it.
And how you apply it.
And how you apply it, right? Yeah, because like...
That's really all that matters is how you apply it.
Yeah.
Knowledge without application is the same as no knowledge.
Right. And I took a bunch of classes in my master's program that were stupid. Like, I'm never going to use... I hated statistics. I did not like, you know, business intelligence. Like, it was not me. But the way that I figured out how to get a B in that class is what I use to help me as an entrepreneur.
Which is what?
YouTube was my best friend.
YouTube going University.
going and finding people who'd been in the class before.
Mentors.
Paying attention. Because like, if you think you can air an entrepreneur and you're not going to have to like pay attention to things and like really like solve, you know what I mean? So I would go back in notes and I'd be like, okay, I got to like reread this. Like, I got to do this mundane work because, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, like we all got to do stuff we don't want to do. In the business, right? Like
you're everything.
Yeah, you're like I could hire an accountant, but I don't have the money for it.
Yet.
So I got to figure this out.
You have to learn everything, which actually then makes you a good employer.
Yeah.
Because you did the job.
And
of the person you're now hiring.
Yeah.
So you understand.
You end up with people stealing money from you when you don't know anything about accounting.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Like you just take care of my books, Debbie. I trust you. Like.
Stories.
Right, but you know, right? Yeah. But you're like, if you know accounting and you've done it before, you're like, yeah, I know exactly what needs to happen. I just need you to do it for me, right?
Yes. And then getting to that point, I find that this is the tipping point for most people that are challenged to get beyond the solopreneur into the hiring phase. Because that's challenging to let go of your baby, you know, and to trust someone that they're not going to embezzle from you or destroy your sales calls or not take care of the leads and not follow up because they don't have that entrepreneurial mindset. That's why they're an employee. So what tips have you learned by interviewing people about that? That's what I find a lot of people struggle with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like hiring?
Yeah, hiring people and training them.
I think it's the same.
Once you've got your idea and it's going and you're hitting six figures or whatever, you're ready to start hiring.
For me, it's pretty simple. For me, it's I did the job. So I have like, I did the job, I documented everything, and now you're just recreating it. Because like, so for a sales example, like we just talked about this with Swapnil, but it's a good example because like a founder shouldn't hire a salesperson if they haven't made any sales.
Right.
That's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check their track record. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And if it didn't work for you, like if it didn't work for me, it's probably not going to work for you. So like if it works for me,
it's not just about
though,
the product. Like if you're good at sales, you can sell any product. It's better when you believe in the product.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but like if I've never sold anything and then I give you a sales process and I say, go sell this and you don't sell anything, right? How do I know it's you and not me? Or how do I know it's me and not,
yeah,
you know
when
what
someone's
I mean?
Brand new at that, you're how like, do you know if it's your system or if it's that employee?
Right, exactly.
Or personally, if they haven't sold before.
Yeah, the best way is like, I did it. So I know this works. Yep. So if you know, we might need to tweak it and there might be some nuances. But for me, it's like, I think you're ready to hire when you've got a good documented process and you can set expectations and then follow up with those.
So then do you find people through your referral network or do you prefer to go through kind of like an employee resource?
It depends on the position.
Like admin, you'd probably use.
I'd probably go find somebody for HR.
Yeah.
Although I know a lot of people in HR.
But for sales, I'd probably use someone in my referral
network. Yeah. I would use somebody who I know. Yeah. Like I have, who I trained and who I went through. Yeah. Accountants, you know, I've got enough in there. You know what I mean? But like. You know, if there's operations, I don't know anything about operations. Well, I know enough to go hire somebody though. But that's that's when I think you're ready. Is like, you know enough
You know, to hire, to let it go.
And yeah. and to hire somebody. Like, I know enough to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
And then I trust you to help me make the changes I need. But what about, what episode are you guys on? We just did the Richie.
Richie was number 5. So we'll be dropping episode number 6 tomorrow.
Heck yeah.
Which is Michelle Mikovic. She's sales diva. She's got two shows on the Travel Channel.
Wow.
And so she also teaches sales.
Yeah.
And how to love it and enjoy it and not feel like it's creepy or slimy, you know. Just make it fun.
Yeah. Sales.
Make it all about relationships and enjoying time with people.
Yeah.
And so, and not taking personally the no, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean,
right.
If you order Sprite at a restaurant and they're out, are you all offended and rejected, feeling like, no, they don't.
Yeah, you're just
okay. It's fine. I'll just have water. Like, it's not a big deal. Next.
Or whatever. Yeah, or whatever. You just, yeah, you problem. Sales is problem solving. And sales is like, I don't know. It should be fun. Like, I don't.
I think it's fun. I think for most people, they just have to get over rejection issues.
I think in my experience, it's not so much about the rejection. Rejection hurts because you had expectations that weren't met. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
And
so you're talking like mindset stuff.
Yeah. Rejection's all a mindset. Mm, yeah.
It is.
Rejection's all a mindset. Because like, I don't know. I don't really go through that because I'm like, number one, I have way too many prospects that I can sell to.
Yes, but you didn't start that way.
That's
so
true.
When you started, were you scared of sales when you started?
Yeah, a little bit. It was tough. And I think it was because of what I now know as like hyper empathy. Mm. Yeah. Sometimes you fall
on that.
Sometimes you fall into that. Well, everybody falls into that.
Yeah.
Like that's why the hardest deals to do are with your friends and family.
Oh, I won't.
Yeah, I don't actually anymore. I don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I don't do it anymore. Because it's hard, like because you're hyper empathetic.
Yeah. And also I feel like maybe they don't view you as the expert in your field because they saw you as the little 3-year-old in diapers or whatever.
Yeah, that's fair too.
You know, in life coaching, when I was doing the business coaching and life coaching before I got into mortgages and the business coaching,
yeah,
I had 100% success rate with strangers and less than 10% with friends and family
for that reason. Yeah.
You know, establishing, and that maybe was a skill I hadn't acquired yet, but establishing that different relationship, that different expectation there.
Right. Right. It's kind of that old, it's that scripture.
A prophet in his own land or the...
That one and don't cast your pearls before swine.
Yeah, it could be. But I know adults who have, you know, 40-year-old children who are painters or electricians or whatever, and they still like secretly go hire someone else other than their kids who are full-grown adults and parents themselves.
And you're like, and professionals.
They're professionals, yeah. But they don't, you know, some of the people that knew you for 20 years or whatever just can't seem to see you that way.
It's true.
It's a mindset thing.
It's true. I do have that problem, like when I go back to do my entrepreneur scholarship in my hometown. My high school.
You do.
So a lot of those teachers were there that taught me.
Saw
right. It's a really
that,
small town.
Scam
yeah.
artist. You
dude, and,
well,
I was.
A, he
I,
was
I
known
was,
as a scam artist in high school. So
I was.
Apparently that reputation is well, stuck in their minds of you.
And I wasn't like the greatest. Like my high school, I did a lot better grade wise in college. But my high school, I was just
maybe
crazy.
Having a book would help with the credibility.
A book would help, and also, but also
but these
like
videos and so I have found since I've been more public and online with videos and education that I do, the mindsets around friends and family, even from high school and childhood, have changed. They will call me from some of my educational videos, whether it's mortgage and real estate and investing or the business stuff. People are now calling and asking for advice and resources. Versus as before when, you know, I was just trying to deal with their old mindset around who I used to be.
Yeah. No, that's good though. And my hometown is also just, how do you say this? The right way. What am I looking for? It's Midwest. Have you ever been to, I don't know where you're from.
I'm from Idaho.
Idaho.
Not too far
okay.
from here. Not
okay.
far from Utah.
That's right. Okay. So the Midwest is just different. You know, Idaho's got 80-mile-an-hour freeways. The fastest you can go in the Midwest is like 65, maybe 70 if you're in a big city. Yeah.
I like it.
We all do. I know my life changed. But it's just different. They're slow. It's slower there. Like they just got rid of like family video, Blockbuster thing. Like that's how, when I say like slow, I mean
wow.
like up until last like 2022, you could go rent a movie at a place.
At a physical location? At a physical,
yeah.
Unheard people, yeah. Barbaric.
You're like, come on. This is 2022.
If you can't stream it.
But yeah, I was like, YouTube, you can rent it for $3 on YouTube.
Yeah. Or Prime or Netflix or anything. Any of the things. Yeah.
So
you don't
my
even have to wait. And it's half the time they're still in the theaters and you can stream them into your
home. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think sometimes I got to catch myself though, because I go back to my hometown and sometimes I get into that money kind of thing. Like, you're like, they kind of look down on you a little bit. They're like, oh, I remember Dalton when he was blah, 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 blah. And
yeah.
I'm like, you know, sometimes it's real. I had to catch myself because I think in my head, like, dude, I have sold pieces of software and equipment that are worth more than this building.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I can't, I never say it out loud, but I go through that.
But they have that mental picture of you.
Yeah. And I'm like,
at that point in time, I know I have the same. I go back to spaces when I first got divorced and they'll introduce me. Oh, this is Debbie. Her and her kids used to live in her basement.
Yeah.
As if I'm like, ooh, that was a very short, brief snapshot of time.
You're like, now I charge people life coaching. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
people come to me for help now.
Yeah.
And you're like, dang.
But if they don't see that aspect of you, it's a mental snapshot and that's their reality of you.
Right.
So yeah, that's also why it helps to surround yourself with people who are doing the things you want to be doing, right?
Mm.
You're like the people you're around.
Yeah.
And the success just accelerates
when
you're around other entrepreneurs doing what you're doing, because you're not around people that see you,
as that old thing.
As your 20-year-old self, right. Not doing those things.
That's true. That's true. Okay, I'm really passionate about, and I want to talk to you about this. I want to hear your thoughts more on this. I'm really passionate about helping teenagers, helping those kids in high school with the mental health crisis that we have going on right now.
Yeah, and that's a huge component of also why this was created, to develop not just the ability to make your own money. Because it's going to take you a long time to buy a car if you're working at Wendy's for $12 an hour.
Yeah.
But, I mean, kudos to Wendy's for hiring teens. Thank you.
Yeah, that's true.
But if you start your own business and scale it, you know, I've got this guy coming to speak who started selling pumpkins at age 8. And by age 10, he had hired his brothers and sisters to work for him. By age 12, he was buying pumpkins from other patches and reselling them at a higher value. You know, and you can imagine he was making thousands in a summer instead of hundreds, you know, and that's life changing on so many levels. And also that is the main premise behind the book company that's coming to, they're giving away book deals at the teen event for that very reason, because they know personally some teens who deal with mental health issues, and that's something they can say, you know, direct their energy towards. I have a story, I have a concept, I have a, whether it's a my own personal story or just a fiction book, or, you know, just to say that they did this, they have something amazing to hold in their hands and give away. So whether it's a book or a business, it's something that redirects their focus on purpose and being productive. And, you know, it just really does help with that. But also, we're giving away free tickets. We have foster care kids coming, kids in homes.
Very cool.
Coming. I mean, the tickets are only $15 anyway, but all of those areas are, you know, they just get to come for free and just learn. And a lot of times that's the first time they're going to hear of any of these kinds of concepts.
Yeah. And it really does. I think the coolest thing for me, learning about teens and helping them, like, really empower teens. Well, let me ask you this. Give me your thoughts on how you actually empower teens. Like, how do you actually solving this problem of, like, mental health and what teens are going through? And what's your take on that, and maybe, like, your avenue of fixing that?
Well, there is a balance there, because if they have actual mental health issues, they're going to need some professional resources. But that's where we would work in conjunction, you know, to give them something fun and exciting in their life to work towards. So they're not just sitting in therapy once or twice or you know, how often per week talking about their problems, but redirecting your mind on solutions.
Having like a purpose and having, having like a mission.
That alone can really help a lot of people.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I like to remind them of, whether you're a teen or at any age, if you don't own your life, somebody else will. You know, because I wasn't going to work for someone else that told me I have to be there from 8 to 6 and no, you can't go to your son's soccer game at 4. no, yeah. you can't go on your kid's field trip. That's not okay with me. Sure. That's just my mindset. So that's why I am passionate about not just personal development, but entrepreneurship in general, because you are creating life on your terms, and then you're making the world a better place too. You're building and creating a product or a service that you believe in that's, you know, humanity plus, you know, creating yeah. something better, like yeah. sales. Like, you had so many people, you've done that 2-3 weeks now, yeah. and you're so booked, you can't even keep up with the need.
Yeah.
And so whatever that is, it's making the world a better place. And then when you get to the point where you're hiring, you're creating jobs and income for people who maybe don't have that mindset or that determination, but they need a job.
Yeah.
And they need a paycheck. And you just created more of that in the world for people.
Yeah. It's very fulfilling. That's what I noticed when I was doing my scholarship for the teens in my hometown. I think all of them said something. There were only two winners. I have we have a boy winner and a girl winner. So there's no, like, everybody can have it. It didn't matter who won or didn't win. Everybody said the same thing, which was like, I feel more confident leaving high school now.
Yeah.
Like knowing that you can take $5 and turn it into, so this one young woman turned it into $960
in
a week.
In 1 week?
1 week.
How did she do that?
Flipping clothes on Facebook.
Oh, was this, that the prom dress girl? Or was
no,
that
no, no. This was from the high, from okay. my scholarship.
So she
no,
took
she was just flipping clothes.
And
flipping.
She went and got clothes from thrift stuff.
Yeah, looked at
thrift stores.
Thrift yeah. stores, Facebook.
Facebook Marketplace. She,
yeah,
and then she resold them
yeah.
where and how? Just in
just
person?
Back on Facebook.
Back on Facebook.
Yeah, so she
for
would
like
go thrift.
$5 more, $10
yeah,
bucks
did the
more.
Whole Gary V thing. Go buy them at the thrift store, sell them on Facebook. Wash them, clean them up, take better pictures. She was a photographer.
Ah.
And so she would just take better pictures
uh-huh.
and then just sell them. And I was like, you've got to be.
Week?
Yeah, I was like, you've
so
got to be.
How many
kidding.
Units was that? I mean, how many articles of clothing?
Oh, I can't remember. She sold. Well, she had some big pieces too. She was like, I got really lucky. And I was like, well, don't say that because you were looking for it.
No, she wasn't. Yeah.
She was. She
pushed
got,
for it. She
yeah,
hustled
she.
For it.
there was a couple thrift stores where she had some suits that were really nice that. And she had an eye for it too. She was like, I knew yeah. that suit was way under.
Yeah.
And if I just took a, if I just put a light and a better camera shot.
See, I don't believe in luck. I believe
yeah,
where opportunity meets preparation, right?
She was prepared
you're
and she was good.
You're out there taking steps. You'll see the opportunities, but yeah. it's up to you to take those opportunities.
And I told them all. I was like, they all made more money than what they had.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, they all came back.
All of them
with,
did. So everybody
yeah, I don't think,
went
I don't
through
think,
that process.
I don't think anybody came back with less than $150.
In 1 week.
In 1 week. And I mean, like, that's just, I was like, now you only had $5 and you only had a week. But what if you had, you know, what if you got lucky? Or what if you had something more, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I went through, you know, the week before is the bigger, better. So I was like, so you've done three things so far. You got a bunch of no's. And some people got yeses. This one girl asked for a raise at her job and got it. So she didn't get a no, but she got what, you know what I mean? So I'm like, you've gotten 100 no's, you've had no money and you found a way to get it done. And then you had a little bit of money and you found a way to get it done. I'm like, there's no reason. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know? And they're just like knowing that and seeing that.
Just get out there. Just ask. Just take the steps.
Yeah.
Just make it happen. And
yeah, that's
why.
Yeah. yeah. They're going to tell you no. It's like, okay.
And that's okay too.
Yeah. The rejection challenge is my favorite one.
That's
they get
amazing.
Wild.
That's a huge skill, not just for sales, marketing, or business, but for anything in life. To be
yeah.
be able to get over that rejection issue.
Yeah.
And
well,
just
we just
show up and ask.
Yeah, and we for teens that are struggling with all the things that they have to go through. It was a hard thing to do the first year with that rejection challenge. Everybody was scared. Nobody wants to get told no. I was like, it's a game. We're literally turning it into a game.
Yeah.
It's whoever gets the most wins that week. And you just need to be ridiculous and with your asks.
Yes. I always tell my kids that too. When I started learning these concepts when they were young and I would teach them and I would see the results of the kids of
yeah.
mine that would take these concepts and use them and the ones that wouldn't. Night and day different
yeah.
in their results in life. You know, one of those is that those who ask more get more.
Yeah.
And my daughter just nailed that one. And she'd come home and she's like, Mom, I asked for this. And they said, yes. And she
yeah.
just kept doing that. And her, you know, she just makes things happen.
Yeah. How do you, what kind of mental exercises or like mindset exercises do you work with, you know, adults or teens to help them ask?
Well, concepts like that make it catchy. You know, have a tagline that's catchy. Those who ask more get more. So you talk about the concept.
Yeah.
And then you encapsulate it in a fun, catchy phrase so they can do their mental affirmations or declarations, you know, so that they're prepping themselves to go do that. Because it does start with mindset, but then it's not, mindset is not enough. It definitely takes action. And then I do like to talk about correct action because I am Tony Robbins trained, and so I quote him a lot. And one of the concepts of how, you know, he talks about mindset not being enough. It is a key component, but there's no amount of sitting in a garden chanting there are no weeds that are going to make the weeds go away, right? It takes the action. And then it also takes correct action because he says there's no amount of running east chasing a sunset. It's going to work. That's not going to get you to your goal.
Yeah.
So you need to have the mindset first so that you have the motivation, drive, passion, your why, you know, all of those things to get going. And then the action steps, but correct action steps, proven systems. Like you were talking about when you're going to hire, don't just randomly hire someone. My first assistant was a disaster because I had no system. I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
I would say things I thought were common sense and she would show up with things that were not doable. we'll just leave it at that. And I took that upon myself also for not maybe having been as clear as I thought I should have or just not having a system, right? So you need to have proven systems when you're training people, teens or adults. It doesn't matter. You've got to have a progression of steps. Mindset's first, but it's definitely not.
Right.
It's not enough on its own.
Right. Yeah, whenever I'm talking with like salespeople, I have a counterintuitive approach to like asking in sales. And that is I just envision the worst thing that could possibly happen. Yeah.
And did you die?
You're right. Yeah, exactly.
I did not die.
It's the hangover quote. Like, but did you die though? Yeah. Because when I do that, it actually is never as bad as you think it is.
Yeah.
So I'll take people through that. I'm like, all right, you're going to ask your boss for a raise. What's the worst thing that could happen? The worst thing that could happen.
No.
They'll say no. Maybe the worst thing that could happen is they yell at you and fire you.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the worst thing.
That means there's a better job for you then.
I'm like, so, but if that's the worst thing, and then we go through that. I go, okay, so they fire. What do you do next? I'll just go find another job.
Yeah.
Sounds like you don't have anything to lose if you ask this question.
Exactly.
sounds like it's all on the table for you.
So I love to, one of the things that I love to do for myself and train people when I'm working with them at any level is to look for my weak points and then get a system to overcome them.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I just did that with, I usually do that with things that are more, that seem more applicable. And I put off, one of my huge weak points was hating the cold.
Okay.
And I put that off for years because I'm like, who cares? It's not going to. What's that going to do for my bottom line? Who cares? It actually did affect things, though. Like, I would make someone carry me from the boat to shore at Bear Lake, even, because even that was too cold for me, right? So it was, you know, mildly annoying, but it didn't affect my bottom line too much. But finally, it was, like, such a conundrum to me. Really, it was, more than it should have been. So finally, I took the challenge. Actually, Sean Finnegan challenged a whole group a couple weeks ago to do a cold plunge.
Yeah.
I took the challenge and I looked at my weak point. I'm like, okay, I'm going to say yes to this finally. And what are the systems I need to do to get over this? So I started looking up Wim Hof and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And a few days before his cold plunge challenge, I thought, I'm not going to let my first time be in front of 20 business owners. Right? So a few days before, I went up to a cold lake and then did it with one friend. You know, and so I could have like make myself. And then I did it with them in their regulated cold plunge tub. And I thought I need to take this up one more notch. So I found someone who did an ice bath, full ice bath, 5 minutes instead of three. And I learned something very cool about him. So about getting over challenges, because it's not the moment you door knock or do the cold call or get in the tub, as he was saying. You know, I added those other things. It's not getting in the ice that gives you that dopamine and that motivation and that rush, right? It's the moment that you're facing those thoughts thinking, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's that moment where you get the release of the dopamine and stuff that helps motivate you to take action, right? The deciding factor, not the action, right? So if you can get into that mindset space, before door knocking or cold calls or whatever your reluctance is, your call reluctance or your sales reluctance or hiring reluctance, whatever your weak point is in life, in relationships, in business.
Right.
First becoming aware of that.
Yeah.
And then finding systems and solutions for that and then create your moment to face it and overcome it.
Yeah. Ice baths are very difficult. Anyway, they're hard. And it doesn't matter. And this is the thing that I always, I'm very stoic in the way that I think, which is like, I go, you know, with the teens, if we're doing a scholarship or with, you know, my salespeople, if we're doing sales, I'm like, dude, this is just going to suck. You just need to think in your head, this is going to suck so bad, and then go do it anyway. I don't know. But it works for me. That's what works for me. I'm like, I'm going to knock on the door and this is not going to be fun, but I'm going to do it. And then we're going to figure it out. Like, I don't know. Mine's that one step. Like, it's just going to suck for a minute. And I just got to go. I just got to do it. Like,
I just gotta keep going. Be your motivating factor. Then for me, I'm always, cause I'm deep into mindset and like how you rewire the brain and your thought patterns and stuff. So I'm always like, how can I make this more fun?
Okay.
So like Tony Robbins also has a thing about asking your questions and getting, you know, your mind to like training your mind to think the way you want it to think. So he's like, well, if you're thinking about weight loss, for instance, and you ask, why am I so fat? Well, because you eat pizza and ding dongs every day. Answer, that's not helpful. So why, you know, how can I lose weight? Okay, your mind comes up with the concepts of diet and exercise. Well, is that enough to get you to want to? How can I lose weight in the fastest and easiest way possible and enjoy it? Then your mind starts to come up with some ideas for joining like a mountain biking club or a dance class or something like that that makes it more motivating and more fun and more enjoyable, so it's more sustainable to build a new habit that way.
That's true. Yeah, that's exactly how I work out. I'm like, I can't go to the gym. So I will do jiu-jitsu or we'll go biking or whatever.
And I'm the opposite. I won't do something on my own. So I join CrossFit. So I join HotWorks. Like I join team things or have a buddy I make a deadline with. Like I won't do that on my own. So I know that myself.
Right. And it's kind of like just that. Do you think, what are your thoughts on like, you know, you mentioned a couple times like fun and happiness. Like what are your thoughts on that? Is it the goal to try to
enjoy like what
do an ice bath and be happy about it?
Yeah, that is my goal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. I'm just exploring it. Yeah.
Yeah, I want my mindset. That's why I continued. I didn't just do the one. I'm taking it to the next step, and I'm going to do it again and take it deeper, longer. I'm going to go all the way under next time, and I'm going to train my mind to enjoy it because it was such a pain point for me for so long. Same with sales and cold calling and taking, you know, when I first got into marketing, like calling a guy and taking him out to lunch. I'm like, is that even okay to do? Like it was so out of my stay-at-home homeschooling mom world.
I don't
even know how to. So there's my weak point. How do I get over this? Find a mentor. Find someone doing this. Bring someone to my first few. See how it, you know, see how they do it. Imitate someone who's doing what you want to be doing. You know, just find the way.
Yeah, that's fair.
But then make it enjoyable.
Yeah.
Make it, that is my mindset. I always want how do I make the thing that I need to do enjoyable?
Okay. I like it though. Because everybody, I think you just have to figure out like how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like at the end of the day, like, but I think it's probably a good thing. I just didn't grow up like that either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I think I appreciate that there are, that your brain starts answering questions, like you were saying, right? Like,
the neuroplasticity. How do
I rewire. Make this fun? Your brain starts thinking of ways to make it fun.
It does.
Yeah.
It absolutely does. And then you can, one of my all time favorite books is Atomic Habits.
Yeah. Love
it. Because, you know, habit stacking, making things automatic also, so you reduce your resistance.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, well, and habit stacking, yes, that the power of those two books, Atomic Habits and The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. Have you ever read that one?
I'm not sure. I don't think I read that one.
That one's really cool. That one blows my mind about just how like how you can just get into a system. And if you have the right system, then you're just boom. Yeah. Yeah.
So then you don't have to be like, this sucks, this sucks, do it anyway. Like, because motivation only goes so, like willpower only goes so far.
Right.
If you build automatic habits, then it's like brushing your teeth every day. It's just something that I do. And then I'm always looking, how can I take it one step further and make myself enjoy this, crave this? Like when you go push yourself to go to the gym when you haven't been for months or years or whatever, so hard, so awful. And then, but if you're consistent and disciplined, it gets to the point where you start to even enjoy it. And then there's that tipping point where you start to crave it and feel weird if you don't do it, you know, and I want to get there with anything that is a weak point of mine that would better my life. I want to get to that point.
Mm, yeah. That was waking up early for me. Like I would sleep in.
5 a.m. club, baby.
I would
That's
sleep
my
in.
Other favorite book.
I would sleep in. Like I would, after waking up for early for so long, you sleep into 7 and you think you have more energy and you don't have any energy.
It's worse.
It's actually the opposite. Yeah. I'm like, oh geez, I can't sleep in at all. Yeah. That's wild, wild.
Do you like 5 a.m. club or Miracle Morning better?
Ooh, I only know 5 a.m. club. What's Miracle Morning?
It's very similar concepts. Okay. I like 5 a.m. club better, but I have a lot of friends who prefer Miracle Morning. But it,
what's,
I mean,
what's
so
Miracle
it's like
Morning?
Read both and see. It's got several systems for, you know, 10 minutes of meditation, 10 minutes of reading.
Oh, type of stuff.
And
okay.
He has concepts about how to wake up early and have more energy. Some of them I love. Some of them I do not agree with. But
well,
everyone's different. You got to find what works for you. Just find something.
And that's how I teach salespeople. I go, look, you're probably not doing really good at sales right now, not because of anything except for you.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't, your script
you're
doesn't
the
matter.
One you've been waiting for.
Yeah. I was like, your script doesn't matter. The people are calling doesn't matter. Like that's why I'm not a fan of like scripts in sales. And it's just because like,
that's where you get that pushy sales.
Well,
inauthenticity.
If it's not you, like I actually have a lot of scripts that I use, but if I use them with us in a sales conversation, you'd never know it was a script.
You
never know because it's mine.
You really own
it's mine.
Made
like it's
it a
made
part.
My.
You've done the work to make it a part of who you are naturally.
It's my voice. It matches my personality. Like all of these
not
things.
Just memorizing and regurgitating stuff, right?
And which is what I tell people: like your favorite movie, right, has a script. The Barbie movie had a script.
I have not seen the Barbie.
Or Oppenheimer had a script, or whatever. Right? Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen it. My daughter loved it. But they all had a script, right? And.
But you wouldn't know because
those actors
you loved that movie because they moved you to the point of an emotional connection because it seemed authentic and real.
Yeah, every Emmy nominated movie had a script. They just made it their own and
they made
entered
it. Real.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't fake those emotions. You interview actors. I did a lot of community theater in my 20s, which is how, I studied that stuff and learned how to get into authentic emotion. They would tap into a memory that they had. Or they would go live out kind of like that character's existence, like go get a job doing that thing or something so that the emotion would be real or as close to it as you could get,
which is
how you connect with that authentically.
Which is what I do with salespeople.
Yes.
I go, you want a really good sales process? Like, do you want to experience, like one of the things I do is because a sales process is only as good as like how you tell people the product is, right? And so I'll tell people like, before you start selling, I want you to go to a Volkswagen dealership. And then there's a Mercedes-Benz dealership in downtown Salt Lake next to the Grand America. Just go to both of those.
Yeah.
And just see what the difference is. And then go to a nice restaurant and go to an Outback Steakhouse. So go to Ruth's Chris and then go to Outback.
It's a big difference. Yeah.
And if you can tap into your, like, a Lexus dealership, this is the coolest thing about Lexus, but if you ever get a chance to go to, I think there is in Columbus, Ohio, next to the Honda one and Toyota, but, go to the Honda one, and I love Honda and Honda's a great car, right? But even their facility feels like a factory, like Honda's, it is, right? But then go to Lex's.
Yeah.
And
very different.
Oh my gosh. Marble floor. They got cookies waiting. I mean, like, it's crazy.
They make it an experience.
Even in the factory where they make the cars, it's an experience.
And this is, like, bottom line, that is how I've been able to stay doing well in the mortgage industry in one of the hardest times in history to be in that industry.
It'd be mad difficult.
We've had loan officers and real estate agents dropping like flies all year long nationwide, and yet I'm still consistently, hitting my goals for the most part because of that. I believe so strongly in the product I have enthusiasm, you know, for homeownership still.
Yeah.
Like, you still need a place to live. If you're still paying someone else's equity. So let's find a way. You know, I teach home buyer classes and investor classes monthly because I'm enthusiastically passionate about that. And then people are drawn to want to work with me because of the enthusiasm for the mortgage product, but really for home ownership or real estate investing in general. It's not for the mortgage, but it's for the end result that it provides.
Yeah. When's the best time to buy a house?
20 years ago. And the next best time is today.
Today. That's right. I love that. Because I get in arguments with people. They're like, oh, wait. And I'm like, no, just buy it.
Just have them call me.
Yeah. You
know, and they will be ready to buy today.
Yeah, I'm getting Debbie.
And not because I'm salesy and I don't have any scripts. Sure. I'm just passionate about it. And the facts are the facts. Even if there is dips or recessions, real estate always recovers over time. If you're in a long-term buy and hold or building your equity, I mean, it always appreciates over time. So you're either, time is always working for you or against you.
Yeah.
And yes, I'm constantly getting that question. High rates, I'm going to wait till they drop. If you wait till they drop, prices go up. You have more competition. That's when we got the over asking. You know, it's better to get in now and just refi if they go down. But at least you have the home.
Well, yeah, if you can afford it now, you can afford it when you refi.
And let's just find the way, right?
And
get into a starter home. It's still better than renting. And your rent's going to go up.
Listen.
3-5% every year or more.
Anyway.
And then it will outweigh what you're paying for your mortgage eventually. Yeah.
I had a little 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom condo in North Salt Lake. That was our starter home. I made more money off of that little damn 1,500 square foot condo than I've made in some years in sales. We made we bought it for 200, sold it for 400, but in the time that we had it we did a bunch of borrowing again, like all of that stuff that you do.
Pull a HELOC out to buy your new place.
And then, by the end, we paid it all. Like, we'd made like 400 grand on that house.
From a condo. Yeah, exactly.
Like a 1,500 square
foot
condo.
And those are also, people don't want to live in condos or townhomes, but they're the easiest way to get into a starter home for the low price point. And then they're the easiest way to get into real estate investing.
Yeah.
Then, if you take your first property, you only live there 1 year.
Right.
You can have the primary residence financing and the low down payment of a primary residence on that one. And then you can turn that one into a rental unit and pull a HELOC out with your equity instead of selling it.
Right.
And go buy another property and keep your primary residence low rates and low down payment on both.
Yeah.
And then the best way to get into real estate investing for new people, in my opinion, not everyone's opinion, condos and townhomes, because the HOA does most of the work for you.
Yeah.
A yard is a huge pain point for a lot of investors who don't use property managers, and that's a whole different class that I teach.
Well, I was going to ask you a question. Yeah.
Condos and townhomes, if you do that strategy and you do it 10 times, because you can have up to 10 on a conventional, Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac will back up to 10.
Yeah.
So you can do that 10 times and have just 3 down on your first, 5% down on the others, if you're willing to move and strategize with somebody. And then you're appreciating on all 10 properties over 20 years. What's 400,000 times 10?
Yeah.
You do the math, know?
I got my degree, but I'm not that good. No, I just saw the townhome that we saw. Because not regrets, but the biggest, oh, damn it, I should have,
Shoulda, coulda, woulda held on to all of them.
I wish I would have kept my townhome, but it's up on the market right now on a short sale.
For how much?
400 grand.
400, and you paid?
205.
205.
So, and I sold it for 405.
Oh, there you go.
But here's the thing. I want to try to buy it.
Because it's 15 minutes away from there.
Yeah.
And it will be appreciating over
time
again.
Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out, trying to play that game.
We'll chat.
Yeah, for real though, because I'm like, it was such a good townhome, and it would be such a good little place to have.
Anything along the Wasatch Front is just renting out so easily. You know, this is a really good area to invest in, and we do talk to people in our classes about, even if you can't cash flow right away, you're still making money on the principal buy down, the appreciation. The depreciation, the tax deductions that you get with real estate.
Right.
No different than putting a couple hundred into a 401k every month.
We can 401ks run the numbers. Are the biggest scam ever.
That's a different podcast. But if you look at it like that, because it is hard in Utah to cash flow right now, but there's a whole lot of other ways that you're making money.
Sure.
And building an ROI, and we can run the numbers for you and show you over time what that does.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, real estate and business ownership, that's
the best.
That's it.
Yeah, that is.
Got a little. You got a little bit of. You got a couple
and
houses.
Most,
you got
most
a couple.
People that get to that point where they're self-made millionaires, financially secure, it's either in whole or in part by real estate or owning a business.
Yeah, well, and most of the time they have both. 100% of the time they exactly. they have one or the other.
Yeah.
And 90% of the time they have both. Like they, well, they, you know, you put your you'll put your houses in an LLC. I'm sure a lot of people do.
Yeah, when you get to a point.
Yeah, when you get to a point. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, holy cow, we went through a lot.
Yeah, we did.
Holy cow. tell people where they can follow you and then let us know about the events coming up.
Okay. Yeah, our podcast is called Ignition Point. It's on YouTube. So it's myself, Debbie Hart, and Sean Finnegan. We're co-hosts on that. And for the events, the teen one will be September 9th and the adult one will be September 28th. And both of those are going to be at the Tax Hive building in Orem, Utah. If you are a business owner and you haven't met with a Tax Hive consultant yet, Kevin O'Leary is a business owner in that. And he, if you're at least at six figures in your business, he does offer a $10,000 guarantee. So if you meet with a consultant and they can't save you at least $10,000, they will give you $100 for having that free consultation with them.
All right.
So they typically have a lot more deductions and write-offs than most CPAs have access to. They have a really good system. So so that they sponsor those events. That's why we have them there, because they have such a good system to save business owners thousands on their taxes. And then you can reinvest that back into your business or a vacation with your family or whatever. But
yeah, I'm a Disneyland guy.
Yeah, Disneyland. Yes. Took my daughter to Disney World last year. It was so fun.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, thank you so much, Debbie, for being here. And I appreciate you, all your thoughts.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.